My name is Jeff Neiman, and I'm running for district attorney. I grew up here in Chapel Hill, moved here in 1982 when I was five, came up through the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County school system, sort of switched back and forth, but finished up at Chapel Hill High School, went to UNC Chapel Hill for undergrad, worked for a clean elections nonprofit for a couple of years in between, and then went to law school at North Carolina Central University. I got an internship kind of by chance with the local DA's office as a law student, and that fortunately turned into a job as an assistant DA, and I've been working in the DA's office since 2006. I became an assistant DA through a series of influences. I think probably first and foremost, I have to say my father, who's kind of my hero in the profession. I grew up with him as he raised me as a single parent. He later went on to law school himself, and he's now a public defender in Guilford County. I think I knew I wanted to be a lawyer, but I didn't know what kind of lawyer until I happened to get an internship in the DA's office. And what I realized from that and from beginning my career there is that that was the job in law that I could affect the most positive incremental change every day on my community. And that's why I'm doing it. And that's why I'm running for DA.
Share the top three policy issues you're campaigning on.
Those are the decriminalization of poverty, the ending of systemic racism in the criminal justice system, and the ending of the so-called school to prison pipeline. When I say that I'm for those things, you can believe it because I've been working on initiatives on those issues for my entire career. I'll highlight just a couple if I could. One is driver's licenses. That is one of the most far-reaching criminalization of poverty issues in our criminal justice system. Most people don't know that most of the folks who have their licenses suspended are suspended not because they're dangerous drivers, but because they get a minor ticket, which may have nothing to do with their safety as a driver. They can't pay that ticket. They get their license suspended, and a cycle continues on and on. To that end, I started in 2009 a driver's license restoration project to give no-cost legal assistance to people who were in that circumstance. I was later fortunate to help craft some legislation called the Driver's License Restoration Act, which helped make the system fair for people in that circumstance. And in 2016, I was called by the Obama Justice Department to testify as an expert in federal court on this issue, specifically how it disproportionately affects the poor and people of color. As to ending systemic racism in the criminal justice system, I think that implicit bias and systemic racism affects every aspect of our lives, and that certainly includes the criminal justice system. And we need to end any possible inequities we have in how people are treated by the criminal justice system. And certainly, those inequities start before people enter the courthouse door. And we could spend time talking about how there's all these other societal things that make these inequities, but that doesn't mean we can abdicate our responsibility to do what we can within the criminal justice system to make things more fair. One thing that I've pledged to do as DA is that I would require implicit bias training of all staff in the DA's office. I've undergone it twice. It's very illuminating, and I think it's very important. And the first step towards trying to eliminate implicit bias is to recognize it and understand it. And finally, empowering youth through the school-to-prison pipeline. I have been a teen court judge for the last 14 years, which is a deferral deflection program for youth in our community. I helped start our misdemeanor diversion program before the so-called Raise the Age legislation to avoid criminal charges for what were considered adults, even though they were juveniles, 16 and 17-year-olds, avoid criminal charges for them, but still have an intervention, some rehabilitation, and some support. I'm spearheading the project for our office to expunge all the records under the Second Chance Act for people who did get criminal records before Raise the Age in that 16 and 17-year-old gap. And I spent three terms on the Juvenile Crime Prevention Council and one term as its chair. Empowering youth and giving youth a fair shake in the criminal justice system is a central tenet to what I have always been and what I will be as DA. When I say that I'm going to bring progressive principles to the district attorney's office, it is not something I'm just saying during election time. It is what I've embodied my entire career. My message of community equity and justice has resonated with this community, and that's shown in the fact that I'm proud to have the support of over 70 local attorneys, diverse group of male and female attorneys, and attorneys of color, as well as 35 current and former public officials, including 13 women and several leaders of color. These are people who take seriously the leadership for this community, take seriously what our criminal justice system is going to look like, and they have decided that my candidacy is the best one to be the next district attorney. And so when they see me on the ballot, they can know and vote with confidence they are electing somebody with my background, my history as a lifelong resident of this community, that I have the values of this community at heart in my bones when I'm making decisions as district attorney.